welcome to Mound Money on KPCW. I'm Doug Wells. My normal co-host, Renee Bodley, is on vacation today. Joining us this morning is a voice you may find familiar from Wednesday mornings. We have Rudy Tesnow, also known as Rudy on the Radio. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Well, we've got a beautiful week for Park City. What you see out there is pretty much what you're going to get for the week. Beautiful days, chance of afternoon thunderstorms, and believe it or not, tomorrow the high is only going to be 67 degrees.
About 10 degrees cooler than this morning, I think, or today, rather.
It is. We have two more weekends, and then that third weekend is Labor Day, and we'll start to see the reds will show up on the hills first, and then the yellows, and so we're about to enter an exciting time. Here in Park City, I love the fall. The summer is always a ton of fun. I hate to see it go, but I also love the fall.
We got all the ski sales coming up, and then it'll be ski season before we know it.
Well, and speaking of ski season, our second two guests do have a ski theme. But before we talk about our second two guests, our first guest in studio with us this morning is going to be Martha Wonderly. She is the executive director of the AAA Fair Credit Foundation. It's a little bit of a misleading name. Really what the AAA Fair Credit Foundation does is they focus on being financial advisors for low-income earners here in Utah. And Rudy, tell us about our second two guests.
Well, then later on we'll have Jeff Gorsuch calling in. Gorsuch, you probably recognize that name from the ski apparel industry, high-end ski apparel and ski equipment and so forth. He'll be calling in. And so we'll talk with him. And then following Jeff, we'll have Brent Amsbury from Park City Ski Boot on the phone with us. And he's a 27-year veteran of the ski industry and a board-licensed pet orthist. So that'll be an interesting discussion. Both very active in the Park City business community.
All right. You're listening to Mountain of Money on KPCW. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Matt here from San Francisco Design. Since the start of our business in 1990, we have been supporting KPCW. We offer home decor for Park City and Salt Lake and feature modern furnishings from around the world. Whether you're looking to furnish an entire home or just redecorating a single room, we can help with our in-house design team. Located on Bonanza Drive and on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Hi, this is Bob Dillon, a lawyer in the Park City office of Jones Waldo with 38 years of legal experience in complex real estate transactions. Proud supporters of KPCW, Jones Waldo provides local businesses with legal services in areas ranging from real estate to employment law. Our website is joneswaldo.com.
This is Ryan Hoffman, manager at Mountain West Bank, sponsor of KPCW. We're a community bank with a great understanding of our local needs. Mountain West Bank has something unheard of nowadays, but I can't say it on the radio. We're next to the movies near Kearns Boulevard at 649-3369. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Cookies on Fridays.
Welcome back to Mound Money. In studio with us now is Martha Wonderly. She is the executive director of the AAA Fair Credit Foundation. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I mentioned to the audience that the focus of your group is really to help be like financial advisors for low-income earners, primarily here in Utah. Give us a wider view of what your organization does.
We help people get control of their money. A lot of people don't know how to budget and don't understand the impact of credit or even what their credit is. So we do a lot of hands-on work in terms of financial coaching and financial education classes.
And you guys are a not-for-profit,
correct?
We're
a not-for-profit. Our services are free.
Okay. And so obviously it's a huge help to the families you're working with. Why is it important to the state of Utah that there's an organization like yours here?
Oh, that's an easy one. So we want people to make more money because then they pay more taxes. So economic mobility serves all of us.
So you all had a press release recently, and that was under the heading of Prosperity Now. What's the relationship between AAA Fair Credit Foundation and Prosperity Now?
So Prosperity Now, formerly known as CFED, is a national think tank that's been convening asset builders. So asset builders are people like me that want to help people get more control of their money and move into the mainstream for years. So they're kind of our organizing national body. So we work with them, and they produce this scorecard every year, which really pinpoints the pros and cons of what's happening in all the states, so we can compare our states, Utah too, another state.
And that scorecard was out on USA Today, I think, in a press release last week, was it?
I think so. It's been out quite a bit. I think it was released on the 25th of July. So if that was last week, I guess that's okay. About right.
Okay. Well,
but people can go on their website and look at their scorecard. It's really very interesting.
So according to the press release, Utah does have some good things happening, and then some other things. So let's talk about the good things first in Utah.
Oh, there's a lot of good things. Our student loan debt is very low because the cost of education in Utah is really affordable. Our income disparity between the top quintile and the bottom quintile is less than it would be in other areas, probably like Los Angeles. People are banked more than they are in other parts of the country, and we know that's important to have people using mainstream banking. I think those are some of the highlights that come off the top of my head.
So I think, let's talk about what I call the unbanked consumer, which you're just bringing up. I think the audience will be shocked at the percent of U.S. citizens, U.S. residents that are unbanked, that don't use a bank. Do you happen to have off the top of your head what that number is?
I don't.
It's around 20%.
Is that?
It's right in that ballpark. It's a huge, huge number. Why is it a challenge for folks if they're unbanked?
Well, if you have to deal in a cash economy, you really never can get ahead. If something comes up, say there's a sale on something and you don't have a credit card, you really can't buy that. Try and buy, not that low-income people are doing that much, but try and buy a ticket, an airplane ticket to go visit your family if you don't have credit. Try and stay in a hotel without a credit card. But I think the thing that's most concerning to me are, even in Utah where we have people who are banked, they're underbanked. So that we have a lot of trouble with fringe financial products. So sometimes people don't have the line of credit and their car breaks down. So they go to a payday lender. They go to a check casher, a title loan. And then the interest rates in that spectrum are so high that people can't get out from under. So we have people come in, they don't have one. We've seen up to 12 or 13 payday loans. They're getting one to pay off another one. And it's just because they don't have access to affordable short-term emergency loans that the rest of us have in lines of credit.
Well, having lines of credit, or even better, you know, you've saved up 6 months of living expenses in a bank. You were sharing with us in the green room that nearly one-third of Utah families do not have 2 months of living expenses in the bank. Why? Talk to us about the types of challenges that presents to people.
Well, a lot of the things we just said, all you need to do is have a health emergency, a copay, of a $500 deductible on a car accident. It's very, very common things that happen to all of us. They're not just mismanagement of money. Life happens.
So the people that come to you, who are they? Are they families? Are they single parents? Are they millennials? What circumstances bring these people to the AAA Fair Credit Foundation?
Well, unfortunately, not enough people come to us. Lots of times they come. I like to call it the unopened envelope syndrome. They have a stack of bills, and they think if they don't open them, that they'll go away. So we oftentimes get people in crisis. What we're trying to do is to get to people before they hit crisis. So we actually go out in the community and have outreach opportunities with our not-for-profit partners, because we believe that money is power, and we want people to engage in the economy, be able to go to school, afford a college education or some kind of vocational training. So people don't come to us as much as they should. People don't talk about money.
So you can help them with an emergency situation. You can also help them with planning for the future, both teaching them the basics of financial education, how to save, how to plan for expenses in the future, as well as how to improve their lives. We were talking again before the show about a coding boot camp that your organization is affiliated with. Tell us about that.
Well, that's a perfect example of going out into the community. So we want to give people pathways out of poverty. So I met Future in Design, and they're working with 16 to 20-year-olds who want to get skills in the computer industry, the tech industry, that will earn them more money. So, but these kids, one of the goals was to have a financial plan, because none of them had a financial plan. They're living in low-income families, where some of them are actually helping support the family. So it's been really exciting to watch these kids come in. And by having a plan, they don't know how to build credit. They think that a cell phone will build credit. They don't understand the different aspects. They don't have bank accounts. So we've been working with a credit union who's actually working with these young people to open up bank accounts so they can save for a goal. So everything around that, they're so exciting to see, because it's the beginning of a career, and a beginning of a career that is more than working in fast food.
You know, in Utah, for many families, it's hard to get a job that pays 15 to 20 bucks an hour, which we were talking is so important here in Utah. You mentioned your feeling is the minimum wage it requires to actually raise a family and save a little bit of money is closer to $17
an hour. That's correct.
Many, many jobs in Utah don't pay $17 an hour. In the coding world, frankly, it's hard to find a job that pays less than $17 an hour. So it is important. Before we transition away from that, if people are interested in that coding program, how could they find out more?
Well, they have a website. It's called Future in Design. I didn't come prepared with the information, but if you go online, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Future in Design.
Future in Design. And a lot of people think you need to be a math genius to be a programmer. The math itself, as I mentioned to you, I taught myself to code over the last couple of years just because it was an interest of mine. But the math is not that complex. If you're decent at word problems, it's really logic more than anything else. So if you have any interest in programming, definitely check it out. It's a program that's free for the students. Is that correct?
That's right. They actually give them a stipend.
Okay. I mentioned that $17 an hour figure. Can you tell us, what is that based on? Why do you think that for families to survive in Utah, they need to make at least $17 an hour?
That's based on the cost of food, the cost of housing, all just your basics. Nothing fancy.
And unfortunately, the cost of housing is rapidly, whether you rent or buy, is rapidly getting out of the reach of a lot of families. And so I think this is a good example. If you have a family that comes to you, they don't have 3 or 4 months saved up, but they have a goal in a couple years, they'd like to buy a house. How could you help a family like that?
Well, if they give us 3 years, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. Because one of the things we do is we understand the services in the community that can help. For example, get your taxes done. You can get earned income tax credit if you're a low-income family. And a lot of low-income workers don't file their taxes because they don't think they make enough money. So that's one of the things we want to do in the community is teach people about the services that are out there that all of us use that they don't know about. So if you can get $2,500 in a tax return and you don't spend it and you save it. And then there are other programs in the community that give down payment assistance. So we couple all those together and give people a future. That's the one of the things we do. If you put it down on paper and you see and your credit's okay, 3 years, there's a Habitat for Humanity, Community Development Corporation of Utah, NeighborWorks Salt Lake. There's a lot of programs out there. Salt Lake City has down payment assistance. So we want to keep people in the community, and we know that homeowners are more stable and they pay taxes.
In fact, just talking about these related partnerships, you had a program that unfortunately just got cut by the federal government, but it was a matching program where as people were saving, your organization would match their savings $3 for one.
That's correct. The Assets for Independence program was cut in the omnibus bill. And we lost all of our federal funding. Now, the state funds us, so we are not going to stop because we believe this is really important. We're going to be talking to our state legislators, if you're listening, about maybe increasing that appropriation, because we believe that if people have an incentive to come into a program, they'll come in. They'll come to financial education. And what we've seen anecdotally, and with some research by the Social Research Institute of the University of Utah, that once people open the door, they will meet the challenge.
So
So if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Martha Wunderly of the AAA Fair Credit Foundation. And so, Martha, how much or you get people to come in and come up with some kind of a plan. So how do you get people to stick with the plan once they come in? And
all right. The newest response, I think, in with low-income people is everyone's talking about financial education. Well, financial education feels like you're going to school. Well, when you do financial coaching, we engage the person in the process. So we'll say, what do you want to save for, and how can you do it? So we had somebody come in and say they wanted to save $500 a month. We didn't think it was going to happen, but we let them do it. And at the end of the month, when we met with them again, they said, well, that didn't work. But it was not us telling them it wouldn't work. It was them really working inside their own money. So they shaved that down to $100 a month, and they're doing it. So it's a financial coach is a independently certified financial counselor who works with someone's own behaviors. So there's a lot of behavioral economics that's really key to maintaining savings.
So you provide coaching and ongoing support. How long might that coaching last? How long is your typical client with you?
That's funny you should ask that, because I was just looking at our research the other day. Some people come in and it's one time, and that's all you need. Some other people we'll see them the first time, then we'll see them in the next week. And then we'll see them monthly, and then it stretches out to quarterly. And then we're hoping we'll get into graduate groups where people will come in as life changes. In financial management, there are things that happen when they're young, and there are things that happen when you're middle-aged. And so we want people to come back in through their life cycle.
Well, let's talk about the youth, because I think that's really important. I saw a study a couple months ago that resonated with what we were talking about earlier. And just the whole hurdle of going to college, and if you're low income, it turns out that the lower quartile, which would be 25%, represents in most states only 3 to 5% of the population of college students. So they're 1/5 to 1/8 as likely to go to college as one of their peers. And then the top quintile, which would be the top 25%, represents 75% of the college students. So they're three times as likely. So if you take those two together, it's 1/25th is likely for a low quartile. That's a huge hurdle.
Right.
You're working primarily with mom and dad. How do you help the kids to see that college might be a potential for them, to have that hope?
Right. Well, I think that's in setting down goals early on and seeing that incrementally that can add up. The one thing that is important to know is it's not just tuition, books, and fees. It's the cost of lost income when you're in college. So if you're a low-income person and you're working, we were working with some single moms. The Single Moms Foundation did a focus groups, and they said, we'll give you all of your cost to go to college, tuition, books, and fees. And they said, well, I'm available between 1 and 2 a.m. And low-income people know that, because there isn't much time. So start early, engage them early. Utah has some matching programs. UHEA has some matching programs, too.
Utah is actually quite progressive on this. First, our college costs are quite a bit lower.
Absolutely.
Which you talked about. Also, Salt Lake Community College, I believe, is the first community college in the nation to say, if you qualify for a Pell Grant, which many, I would think most low-income people do qualify for a Pell Grant, as long as they're a U.S. citizen, Salt Lake Community College will take that as the full tuition, even though it really only covers about half of the tuition, which is awesome. It basically means you go tuition-free if you qualify for a Pell Grant.
Yeah, Salt Lake Community College is doing amazing stuff. And I really encourage people to start in the community college before. Yeah, you can still go to a football game at another big rah-rah school. But if you start in the community college, it's much less expensive, and all your credits are transferable. So thanks for reminding me of that.
You're welcome. The other thing I want to mention is college is not for everybody. And you were mentioning the value of the crafts, learning a trade craft like learning to weld, or something like that. Tell us about those
programs.
So
we work with the applied technology colleges because I really do believe in that. And it doesn't mean that you have to stop there, but if you have a trade, so when you're in college, you can make more money. If you can make $15, $16, for example, a phlebotomist makes $13 an hour. Now, that's not self-sufficiency wage in Salt Lake County, but that's better than minimum wage. So when you can get that in 100 hours, if you want to go on into nursing and you're already in the field, absolutely. There are all sorts of tricks that we work with people with that. It's a longer conversation.
So before the show, we were just chatting about some of the success stories that you had and some of the real people that have pulled themselves up from, you know, really just almost nothing to achieve some real success there. So what's your favorite one of those?
Well, one that just comes to mind because it just happened is a young woman who was a single mom. No one in her family had ever graduated from high school. So we met her. She was in subsidized housing, and she wanted to buy a home. So we met her, and she started saving this match savings program. And we connected her with Habitat for Humanity because we're always looking at places to connect people. She bought a house and just sold it. The house was $135,000 of her money going in, and she just sold it for $270,000, which is terrific. But in the meantime, she got there's a despair that comes with poverty, so she got hope. So she went back to college and now has an LCSW, is in private practice, and her kids are also now money savers. So it changes the whole mood of the family. So her kids are both in college now. So that was somebody who could have been a statistic down on Rio Grande.
And that has to be what keeps you coming back to work with a smile on your face every morning.
Yeah, we have so many of those.
The work you and your organization do is very important. We thank you for coming in this morning. Our guest has been Martha Wunderly. She is the executive director of the AAA Fair Credit Foundation. Martha, before we let you leave, how can people get in touch with you and your organization?
You can go online to faircredit.org or 800-351-4195.
All right, Martha, thank you again for coming in. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jeff Gorsuch. He is one of the founders of Gorsuch Clothing.
Mountain Money on KPCW is sponsored in part by Columbus Pacific Properties, introducing Apex Residences, 63 ski-through community residences located at Park City's expanded Canyon Village, with clubhouse amenities, heated outdoor pool, and in-house concierge. Information at apexparkcity.com.
I'm Beth Lohman from Park City Mountain and KPCW sponsor. Epic Promise grants focus on youth programs and environmental initiatives that impact our community. Grants fund programs that help kids achieve great things in the classroom and develop a passion for the outdoors by engaging guests, our local community, and employees to create a more promising future. More information at epicpromise.com.
Gordo here.
And I'm Larry with All Resort Group, a proud sponsor of KPCW.
Since 1974, we've been part of this community with shared ride, private van, and SUV service for our customers.
Reservations available at allresort.com or 649-3999.
We move people.
Welcome back to Mountain Money on this beautiful Monday morning. Coming up next is going to be Jeff Gorsuch. He is the founder of Gorsuch Ski Clothing. He's on the line now. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Is this Doug and Rudy?
Yes, sir. How are you this morning?
Very well. It's an honor to join you and talk on the radio.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you with us. And Jeff, Gorsuch has been an ongoing concern for more than 50 years in a very competitive market. And so we're just wondering, you began, or actually your folks began selling apparel from the back of a station wagon. Tell us that story.
Well, my mom and dad met as young junior competitors at the Junior Nationals in Jackson Hole. They were both 14. My dad grew up in a mining town in Climax, which is, there's no longer a town there, but it was the largest open pit molybdenum mine during the time, and his dad was the head of mine operations and started a ski area up there at Climax, Colorado. So my mom and dad were competitive racers. My mom grew up in upstate New York, and my dad, of course, outside of Leadville and Climax. So they They went to the 60 Olympics and were married shortly thereafter. And my dad was the first mountain manager at Crested Butte in 1961. And they started a store in Gunnison out of a garage there, which still is there today, not as a store but as a garage. And they took the merchandise in the back of their VW microbus station wagon, back and forth to Gunnison and Crested Butte, and started the operation in the Gunnison country, over 50 years ago.
So those microbuses were really popular in the 60s when they were doing that. Now we know of your company as a retailer of very high-end clothing. Is that how it began?
You know, to tell you the truth, I mean, my dad and mom were Olympians and then competitive skiers, so it really started off as a ski store. And my dad, set up a tuning shop in Gunnison and was tuning everybody's skis at Western and whatnot, and they finally decided to do it as a business. And I'd say that on the western slope of Colorado, at least in the 60s, there really wasn't much of a real estate business or resort business. I mean, these resorts sort of came into being during that time, and the market changed and evolved, and my mom and dad always went to Europe, and they were, competitive skiers, so they'd gone a lot to Germany and Austria, Switzerland, and competed on the World Cup over there, and prior to when it was the World Cup. And so they started off, with a lot of family companies like Bogner and, a 90-year-old company. But we've been a Bogner dealer for about, 50 or so years, 53 years. And, we procure and find the best merchandise and have been selling it in the stores and in the markets that we're in, and it's just it's a privilege to have a store and to be in Park City, and any other stories or things I can give you about the history, I'd love to do. So just a privilege to be on the show.
Well, we're happy to have you with us, Jeff, so in all the travels throughout the world and stuff, you guys have been exposed to and come across so many different fine product lines. So how do you select the product lines that you all feature then?
You know what, I think it's a very small industry. It's sort of like a family industry. A lot of the great brands of Europe, whether it's the ski manufacturer, the clothing manufacturers, are generational businesses. And a lot of the brands that we carry have, of course, been around for years, and some of them were reimagined or reinvented. But whether it's a company like Moncler or Kesley or Bogner or Chuse or a lot of these brands, I mean, you find it's a relationship business, and you work with a lot of the principals and founders, and you get to represent the products and introduce it to the clients and the customers that we have in the store. And we do a lot of stuff in the technical part, the performance sport part of the business, with air torrents and a lot of the foot scanning and a lot of the wellness product. You can come in and get a custom footbed or insole made, and then the custom boots or a hiking boot or whatnot. So it's really taking the knowledge and the information and the introduction you get with the products and putting it into an environment where people are welcome and they want to come in and get great service from people like Larry or Brian or Fran. And we got a lot of wonderful people in the staff and on our team in Park City. And we wouldn't have a store and a company without the people that we hire.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear you say that, because truthfully, your family are the founders, but your employees here on Main Street are the face to your organization, to those of us here in Park City. Retail has always been, my father was in retail, has always been a brutally competitive business where only the very best of the best operators survive. And my father got out of retail before the start of the internet. But I'm curious from your family's perspective, you had 30 years before the internet started to gain traction, but clearly it's a formidable force in retail now, the internet as a whole. What are some pivots that your team had to make to combat what's going on the internet?
I think that's a great question. I think, the distribution and the supply chains and the way people are you know, sort of responding with their habits today and their behaviors. I mean, first of all, Gorsuch is a bricks and mortar company from the ground up. I mean, that's where we started. We still do more volume in bricks and mortar, but you know, we definitely use different mediums to communicate and to you know, welcome the guests and talk to the guests. My mom and dad started a catalog business about 41 years ago because we wanted to try to keep all of our people and our staff. And so we still send a catalog every year, and it's a big part of our marketing and our story. And we send 3.5 million copies, you know, nationwide. And there's about 14 or 15 drops. We drop every 4 weeks with a different cover. And so we haven't been on the internet probably more than about 8 or 9 years. But you know, we do have a web-based part of the business, and that's supported by the catalog, which is in turn, you know, welcomed with sort of the front doors of all of our retail locations. So they sort of dovetail in, but I don't think we'll ever get away from being a real classic bricks and mortar. You know, people want an experience, and if people can't come to Park City or Vail or Aspen or Beaver Creek or Keystone, which are areas that we have stores, you know, they can find us online, and then we have personal shoppers, and we have ways that we can get product to people. But I think that, you know, we're real committed to the communities that we're in and to be a part of. And you know, I think Park City is just one of those really wonderful communities that has such a great history. And the story of skiing there and the story of the outdoors and of all sorts of great companies that have been there for the last 50 or so years or before, you know, we're just happy to be in the mix and have a chance to offer the guests a little bit of a variety in the story and in a sort of a family environment where they can come in and find something unexpected, you know.
So you all have stores in 7 resort locations, and you said began around the Crested Butte area. So how do you know when it's time to expand to another location?
Well, you know what? For the Utah area, I was coming over there with my son, Brooks, who is a big mountain skier. We were coming to snowbird a lot. And, of course, my dad had competed over there, and my mom was within the skiing range. My dad won the 63 collegiate downhill title in Utah, and so there's always been a real love for the area, and I think the Wasatch and the basin there with all your skiing and the variety that you have, we had an opportunity to come in and improve the old Christmas tree location and buy our location in the old Mrs. Field building, and I just think that we felt like, you know, we could come and offer a selection and bring a product range, you know, with a little bit of a family enterprise and a twist to the market. And it's developed over the last 2.5 years into a very important market, and we hope to be able to do more in the community and work and be a real part of what happens out there. I know the Winter Sports Foundation has been through some different things, and they've done some work, and I have a real good friend out there, John Eric Green, who I grew up with, and I think he's raised his family there, Amanda, and three daughters, and he helped me get the deal done out there, and we've had a lot of support, and we just really love the history and the story of Park City and the Deer Valley area, and my mom and dad over the years had a lot of friends there, Stein and the Stearns and of course the Penskes, and so we just feel real happy and privileged to be part of the community and be able to have an offering and have a store there.
Yeah, no, and it's fun to add your family's name to the legacy names that you just added. You mentioned the old Sally Fields building. We should mention your store is at 355 Main Street. You know, for many years, I moved to Park City 11 years ago, and for many years, that location really did not fit in with the Main Street look and feel. And I think we have the Elliott Group, which is the architecture that designed the new building. I think they did a great job there. When you had to commit to the store, though, had the work already been done? Did you know how well that was going to blend in with Main Street now, or did you have
you know,
to use?
We got in right in the middle of that, you know, sort of redevelopment, and it was real clear to us that we wanted to be, you know, sort of in the heart of the historic downtown, and we wanted to have a presence where we could, you know, bring that family overlay. You know, we started in Crested Butte, Gunnison. I mean, these are very small western slope towns that, you know, really have a lot of the similar story with mining and with alpinism and with, you know, the roots of skiing and really the story of the West. And so we were drawn to Main Street, and we loved being across from the Egyptian and the Christmas tree old store. And then when they sort of brought it together with the parking and then this sort of modern, you know, mixed-use building with, you know, we said, you know what, we just at least we did a lease, and then we were able to do the improvements, and we had a great group of people that we worked with to do the construction, and it took about a year and a half to do the build-out, but we were just lucky with the timing that it worked out and that we could come in, and you know, we own our building in Vail Village, and we, you know, own our distribution center. We have a lot of different leases with other, you know, ski area, you know, tenants. We're you know, involved with Beaver Creek, and we've been in Vail for a long time, and we've been in Aspen a long time. But to be able to come in and invest you know, improve the product as far as the building, and then have a home base for a flagship in Deer Valley and Park City, we were just tickled about it. You know, it's just been a great, great development for our company.
Well, Jeff, we were talking earlier also that you have a website, a retail website, and I got on it yesterday and was looking around in there. You know, it's a very simple, very elegant, and very easy to use website, and I was just curious about how do you keep people from getting lost in a retail website? How did you do that?
You know what, my brother John Gorsuch, who, and I have two brothers, John and Davey, and my mom and dad were the founders, and then we are, you know, owners of the brand with my mom and dad. My brother really does a lot of the web design, and he has a great team, but we do a lot of that in-house, and I think there's so many websites you go to that you're just, you know, you can't manage them, you can't navigate them, and so we try to have a story, and we try to have the classes and the categories that we like to try to introduce to folks, and then We have to execute and be able to deliver on the products that we represent and show, so you can have timely deliveries that come out on a daily basis. So I think we're still learning, and we're still developing and figuring out how we can translate and be a family business among a real jungle, a very fast-paced, you know, changing, you know, landscape with that environment. But we're trying to be pretty focused and stick with the vendors that we work with and be able to, you know, take care of the customer on a daily basis with good execution of what we got. But I'm glad you got on the web and you thought that was something you could use.
Yeah, no, Rudy was mentioning just how nice of an experience that was. You know, you're talking about your family and the multiple generations. You know, I think America needs small family businesses to continue to thrive. We talked earlier about some of the threats that have come up in the last decade, particularly with the internet. You know, the ski industry in particular is really difficult, right? I mean, you really have two, maybe at most three peak seasons that you're selling, and then it's either preseason or you're probably doing some kind of closeouts because the season's about to change. I'm curious, probably one of the biggest challenges since you and your brothers have been in charge of the brand was the 2008-2009 financial crisis. Tell us how your family hunkered down and weathered that storm.
I'll tell you, that was a tough one because we had had a line of credit in that facility for 43 years with Wells Fargo, and you know, there was a very difficult time in that you know sort of period where, you know, retail was contracting and took a hit, and we unfortunately, you know, struggled with our line of credit, and Wells exited our family, you know, platform, and we had to go out and scramble, and so, you know, we were left sort of operating on reserves, and you know, we survived it by, you know, sort of, you know, being very focused on what we were doing, and we found a new capital partner and a good bank, and you know, you can't run a business without a financial structure that's going to support growth and take care of your inventory, and so, you know, I think it got our attention, and we've always been a family that, you know, worked at the business on a daily basis. And in retail, you brought up, it's not something you just do because, you know, you want to do it for the fun of it. You got to show up and you got to have a great, you know, presence, and you got to, you know, invest in your staff and your people and your inventory. And it happens every day. My mom says, you know, it's a lot like a production, you know, whether it's a theater or whatever. I mean, when the curtains go up and the doors open every day, you got to be ready for action. And so we survived the 2008 and 2009 by really focusing on our core businesses and you know, coming back in to, you know, listen to what the customer wanted. And you know, we lost some volume, but, you know, we built it back up. And you know, we're a healthy company now, profitable, and we've got good financial lenders. And I think it was tough in retail just in general because the landscape in retail has changed so much, you know. And so we try to come with good, fresh product and great approach with good staffing and you know, sort of a family value or core value. And it's an honor to be in the markets that we're in, and we're very, very, you know, pleased to be able to say that we have a presence in the Park City Deer Valley market.
Well, we're speaking with Jeff Gorsuch of Gorsuch Apparel. And Jeff, just another question. In retail, it seems like the real challenge is keeping things fresh and keeping the interest up. That seems like a real challenge. I'm just curious how you get out there and find the new things to kind of keep things fresh in your stores and on your websites.
We have a good merchandise team. My mom's director of merchandise. My mom and dad both still work. They're going to be 80 in September. And I'm actually calling you from our ranch down in the Lake Fork. We're near Crested Butte and Gunnison because we're putting up hay. And the alfalfas, they just got a little bit of a window to get out of the rain and the monsoon. But my mom just got back from Europe and New York, and so we have good merchandisers that are out in the markets, and whether it's the technical and the sporting markets with the ski markets or the outdoor retailer, or whether it's going to meet with families in different markets in Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Italy. I mean, I think it's about getting out there and figuring out how you can bring other people's story back and translate it and introduce it to guests that are really wanting to look for something that they maybe are a little unexpected. You know, there's a lot of sameness in retail today, and it's nice when you can tell people and show them a new presence and a story with a brand, or it might be a fabric, or it might be a maker, or it might be a mill or a factory, or somebody's doing really something very innovative. Even like, you know, Pete Wagner has a wonderful, startup ski company that's quite famous now, Wagner Skis. We work with them in Telluride. He makes them all there in Telluride. But I think bringing little stories and people's passion and plugging it in and bringing it to a market, that gives people something to come in for. You know, it's really fun.
Well, Jeff, you and your family have been doing that for 50 years. I'm delighted to hear your parents are still working actively in the business. They must be very proud of you and your brothers, the second generation. And we should remind our users, our audience, that the Gorsuch store is at 355 Main Street here in Park City. Jeff, thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. Blessings to everybody, and have a great day. And I look forward to meeting you guys in person.
Same here. Thank you.
Thank you kindly.
And stay tuned. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. Our next guest is going to be Brett Amsbury with Park City Ski Boots.
This is Allison Kulo with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Did you know that by shopping locally, you strengthen the local economy and support our local infrastructure, trails, parks, and transit system? When you shop or dine in Summit County, those dollars stay in Summit County. The Park City Chamber Bureau is pleased to support KPCW's locally grown radio show, Mountain Money. Remember, keep it local, keep it PC. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization and a proud supporter of KPCW.
This is Steve Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We continue to be proud supporters of KPCW, our local source for Park City news. Our agents are Summit and Wasatch County's source for real estate, and we can be reached at bhhsutah.com.
Well, our next guest is Brett Amesbury, who is a 27-year veteran of the ski industry and a board-licensed pet orthist who provided services for the U.S., Slovak, and Czech ski teams in freestyle speed skating and alpine racing. He offers top-quality ski, running, cycling, and golf orthotics. Brett Amesbury, welcome to Mountain Money.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, thank you. Hey, Jeff, I'm sorry, Brent, you offer multiple lines of high-quality boots, and so I'm just curious how you match the right person to the right ski boot.
Well, you really need to do a good analysis of the foot type. I mean, if you look at feet, it's kind of like a fingerprint on your hand. Everybody's foot is a little bit different. Their feet are different. And so we go through a variety of measurements, volume measurements, ankle circumference, and not just length and width, but we go through multiple points to find out what is your foot like in terms of how it would fit a certain model or brand of boot. And from there, we can break it down into, hey, are you a more volume, a bigger, massive type foot, or a very narrow, thin foot? And manufacturers are really good today in providing different volumes, low volume for those skinnier type feet and higher volume for the high arched, more massive, chunky type feet. And once we get you in that parameters, we get you those choices made, we can move on to customizing and building orthotics and making that boot fit and work for you.
So, Brent, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and so buying a ski boot was, you know, going to one of the major retailers and, you know, they tossed 10 different sets of boots on you. You try them on, and whichever one felt the coziest is what you went with. And when I moved here to Park City, I had to laugh because one of the first introductions that was made to me was to a boot fitter. And I found out what I'd been doing for 50 years of my life was completely wrong. And going to a boot fitter, for the few people in the audience that here in Park City that maybe have not done it, it's a completely different experience. You were mentioning how the foot has like its own signature, it's like a fingerprint. I went to this boot fitter and he literally just like what felt to me like a massage on my feet for a couple minutes, just feeling the bone structure and the muscles in it. And then he came out with one pair of boots and said, "This is the boot for you." And that's been my experience ever since. It's a very different experience. Does that resonate with you? I've never used you as a boot fitter to date, but is that generally how quality professional boot fitters do it?
I would agree with that. I think if you offer the customer a few more choices and let them somewhat guide themselves. I mean, if you just bring out one pair, if you're willing to take that leap of faith with your boot fitter, that's great. But I find with my clients, it's best to bring out about three pairs and say, this is our range. Usually I'll indicate that the first pair we're going to try on is the one that comes to mind, right? The one that really kind of, as you say, resonates. And then we have two option pairs. Because every client's a little bit different. Every customer has a different feel or different level, we call level of compression, meaning that maybe you think they should be in a certain brand, a certain model, and they put it on, they go, wow, that's really, really crunching tight. Yeah. And then move to the next model, and they go, wow, that's actually better. So if you give them some options, they really find their way. It guides them into what they find is the best balance for themselves. And but, yeah, in general, boot fitters, good boot fitters, learn orthopedic techniques of foot analysis, analyzing the foot, manipulating bones, manipulating tendons, and finding how that foot really operates and where that would fit in a certain brand and model.
So, Brent, Park City Ski Boot offers several different lines of ski boots and very high-quality lines, but can someone bring their current ski boots in and have them help you have them fit better?
Absolutely. We invite people to bring in their old boot, maybe just as a reference point, or if they really like that boot, we can go through and review the condition of the boot from external to internal, buckles, toe and heel wear, the liner, its itself, is it packed out, is it worn out, are there issues with the boot that may not be compatible with that foot type, and if the boot really is still a good match, we could replace the liner, build a new foot orthotic, and keep that shell running for another few more seasons, or point out the problems with the boot and let the customer decide whether it's time to replace it or not.
How many ski days is a good quality boot good for?
Well, we answer it with kind of two parts. The liner itself, the inner portion that touches your skin and picks up your moisture, your perspiration, your first contact, that will last about 150 ski days if it's been well taken care of. The plastic shell, it can go almost twice as long, up to 300 days if you take care of it. So there's a little bit of a mismatch between how long the inner will wear and how long the outer will wear. So a lot of aftermarket ski liners out there that help customers get the full lifespan out of their ski boot. So 150 days, many skiers will just take that liner, throw it away, and get a good custom liner put in the boot, and it gives them another extension.
Well, that's why my boot fitter tells me that it's an investment buying a good quality boot, and it's definitely not inexpensive. But as you say, you know, for many of us here in Park City, we get 30 or 40 ski days in a year, so that's 4 or 5 years out of the liner. You replace the liner, so if you look at it that way, it's oftentimes might be less expensive to buy a quality boot. Brent, unfortunately, we need to let you go, but I want you to have a chance to tell our audience where your location is based.
We're located at 1100 Iron Horse Drive, right there in the near the Windy Ridge Cafe. And, we're gearing up for the season right now. So boots are coming in, and by Labor Day weekend, we'll be fully stocked and ready to go.
Okay. Well, our guest this morning is Brent Amesbury. He is with Park City Ski Boots over by Windy Ridge. Brent, thank you for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And stay tuned to Mountain Money on KPCW. Up next, Rudy and I will wrap up the show.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air Cruise and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com. Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Well, you're listening to Mountain Money, and our thanks to the guests on today's program, Martha Wunderly of AAA Fair Credit, Jeff Gorsuch from Gorsuch Apparel, and Brent Amesbury from Park City Ski Boot.
And we also want to thank our great sponsors for Mountain Money. We couldn't do a show like this without our sponsors. And speaking of which, Pledge Drive Week is next week, so we couldn't do this without our great listeners as well. Our sponsors of Mountain Money include Mountain West Bank, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, San Francisco Design, Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough, All Resort Express, Park City Mountain and Apex Residences, and Viridian Park City, Columbus Pacific Properties. So, Rudy, good show today. I had mentioned, you know, a little bit of a ski theme. Ski season is right around the corner for us. It's been a busy, busy summer here in Park City. We had two weekends ago, we had the Kimball Arts Festival. This weekend, actually, something interesting. My wife has liked Hugo's Coffee on her Facebook feed, and she showed me that Tim Cook was in town. Tim Cook, the chief executive officer of Apple Computers. I know Orrin Hatch has, his foundation has a big benefit golf outing today. I suspect Tim Cook is here to play golf with Orrin Hatch. So a lot going on here in town.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about living in Park City. There's just so much going on all the time. And as indicated by the guests that we had today, we have so many resources in Park City and so many fun things to do and great resources to make that happen.
Yeah, no, it's really an exciting time of year. Fall is right around the corner. Speaking of which, the weather. What you see today is pretty much what we're going to get for the next few days, with the exception of tomorrow, which is going to be a little nippy. NPR News is next. You're listening to KPCW.